Good evening. It's Thursday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. On today's program, a University of Michigan economist says that we will not get back to our pre-recession job numbers until 2030. And I'll be talking to an author of a new book on the Civil War and how involved Michigan soldiers were in battle. About 90,000 men from this state served in the war, including some of his ancestors. But first, what are we still doing in Afghanistan? Over 10 years now, we've been at war in that country. And the question is, will we ever leave? Well, Michigan U.S. Congressman Bill Heisinger has just returned from a visit to Afghanistan and joins me now to shed some light on how things are going over there. Welcome to the program, Congressman.
Hey, good to be with you.
Now, tell me, when it comes to these kinds of trips, how are they structured? How long were you there? And what kinds of things did you really get to see?
Yeah, there's different types, but this was a very quick trip. We left about midnight on Friday morning, got to Kabul about 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and started our first meetings at 7 a.m. on Saturday, and had 2 full days, and left late Sunday night. But we were able to be in Kabul. We visited Camp Leatherneck, which is the Marine base in Helmand Province. Went out to what's called a forward operating base, an FOB, which is where they were about 45 minutes outside of the base. Then we also headed over to Kandahar, which was really sort of the epicenter of the surge earlier this year. So you get a pretty good sampling and a snapshot, I guess, of what is happening.
Did you get to meet with any Afghan army leaders?
Yeah, actually we did. We met with one of the Afghan generals, and it looks like there is some real progress being made with the Afghan National Army really coming into its own.
Well, you know, some say that this is really a ragtag group of Afghanis. They're loyal to really one thing, and that is a paycheck, the one they get from the army, and that really once we leave, the entire structure could fall apart. Is that not something that is concerning U.S. Troops on the ground there?
Yeah, sure. There is the main question out there is what fills the void when we're gone. And now I'm not one to specifically agree with a hard and fast date a couple of years in advance. I think that's a decision that needs to be made by our military leaders with reasonable time frames around that. But, you know, the president has set that time frame. They're working towards that. The difference is, according to a number of those people that have served both in Iraq and now in Afghanistan, and there's a tremendous number of troops that have served in both places. They're saying the difference is the Iraqis, it was very difficult to get them engaged, and we had to push them and push them out to the front and have them organize and lead those operations. They say it's kind of different with the Afghan troops, the ANA, which is the Afghan National Army. They are very eager to get out in front. And corruption is always a challenge when you go into any of these countries, these developing countries. It's kind of a culture. And the sort of the sense is from the coalition troops is the exposure that they're getting, not just to us, but to the Brits and the Aussies and Romanians and everybody else, their professionalism, that culture of corruption that they're anticipating has really dissipated. And now the ANA is viewed by the Afghan people as one of the most stable presence in the country.
What about tribalism and warlords? Isn't that the real power structure in Afghanistan? And doesn't their society really have no resemblance at all to our own Western democracy?
Well, it's very different. It is very different. The different, as you say, tribal gatherings that they put together are really the sort of the decision makers on a regional basis. And one of the challenges is having a federal government with the Karzai government sort of bunkered down in Kabul. And in fact, two or three days before we were in Kandahar, a very good, by all accounts, a very good regional deputy governor was assassinated. and he was really viewed as a strong leader within within the province. And so there is definitely an insurgency that is fighting, and they want to see this destabilization. There's another group that's sort of hunkered down and living living life out of Kabul. And then there's another another group like this governor in Panjwi, who was killed, who are really trying to make a difference. And we're seeing this even within the Taliban. You know, the Taliban is going to be opening an office, a presence in Qatar, and they're split. You know, there's some that Taliban leaders that believe this is the right direction, and others who think this is absolutely the wrong direction. So it's not a stable, you know, U.S. type based government by any stretch of the imagination, but there is some progress.
I'm talking to Michigan U.S. Congressman Bill Heisinger, who just returned from a trip to Afghanistan. Congressman, why is our money and the lives of our troops worth investing in a country like Afghanistan? Why should we remain there? Why aren't we not just engaging with our drones and other ways of going about it when it comes to dealing with enemies in that country?
Yeah, you know, a great question, and a question, frankly, that I asked of our troops. And, you know, the challenge for something like this is getting there and not just going through these dog and pony shows and you know, hearing what they think that they, you know, you want to hear. And so what I do is I try to very intentionally go out, talk to, you know, those specialists, those corporals, those sergeants, spend some time with them. I seek out Michigan troops and, you know, and ask them those things. And I actually had breakfast with a lieutenant colonel on one of the days from Ludington. He's from Michigan. And I asked him that. I said, "What, you know, what's the message you want me to bring home?" And he said, "Hey, this is not easy stuff. This is very tough stuff. But we're doing good over here. We've got some glimmers of hope. The Afghan people have some glimmers of hope. We can't just pull out like we did once the Soviets left. You know, we helped kind of create this situation to a degree." And he said, "This is going to take some time." Now the question is how do we switch this from a military action into more of a development action? And that was part of my quest as well, is to find out, okay, how are we going to transition this thing?
How are we going to transition? Aren't these soldiers telling you privately that they really don't have very much hope in the Afghan army being able to withstand the warlords and groups like the Taliban once U.S. troops leave?
Well, and I was kind of expecting that, quite honestly, because coming from Iraq, my read coming out of Afghanistan is we're actually further ahead in Afghanistan than what we were in Iraq. Afghanistan has tribal divisions, but they don't quite have some of the religious strife that occurs, for example, between the Sunnis and the Shia and the Tajiks and the Kurds and the, you know, some of the, name them all. And it's just a slightly different feel. And the key here again is building some sort of stabilizing force. So they're, you know, they call the combination of the ANA, the National Army, and the ANP, the National Police, the ANSF, the Afghan National Security Forces. And we've got to have a stable ANSF presence around the country for people to believe that they're really going to carry this on. And you know, the Congress is, they could, you know, potentially these warlords or these insurgents could just wait out the United States. And as one of the guys put it, he said, they can't wait out the ANSF. If we do this right and they train right and we can change that culture a bit, you know, it's their home. They're not going to wait these guys out.
The Taliban, they're not really going to go anywhere, right? They will be part of Afghanistan. Should we just accept that they should be incorporated into any future government there?
Well, and that's, I think, the tough question that everybody's sort of wrestling through right now. And are they going to be a part of it? If so, what part of it? Certainly Karzai is less inclined to have that be included in, the Taliban be included in. But the feedback we got on this trip is, one of the things that has changed as well is there's far fewer foreign fighters now in Afghanistan. It used to be that you would see more of the radical jihadists who are coming, much like they did in Iraq, right? You know, they were coming from all over and going to where the action was, which was Iraq. They tried coming into Afghanistan, and kind of even the Afghans have said, hey, you know, this is our country. You know, you need to move out. And I'm sure based on the conditions that we saw, it's much harsher than Iraq. I mean, Iraq's hot, but it's kind of flat and desert. I mean, I'm telling you, when you get up into the mountains near Kabul or down in the Kandahar area, it is rugged. So it seems that there's much fewer of the foreign fighters that are now in there too.
Afghans have been growing opium for generations. It's a major source of money. Do we really even care about that at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to. Now it is not our military's directive to do anything about it. And we saw what we suspect probably were poppy fields in and around some of the installations that we saw. But we've got to give them alternatives as well. And I think people are looking for that. Wheat is not going to compete with opium when it comes to a return on that dollar, and we've got to figure out some other ways. But again, I think there has to be an Afghan solution in cooperation with others to figure out how we're going to handle that opium trade.
Finally, you visited both Iraq and Afghanistan. When it comes to the type of involvement we've had in these countries, the way we got entrenched in both of them, did we learn a lesson here not to engage on that level in the future?
We have got to be careful. And again, one of the reasons why I wanted to go is to let the troops. We haven't forgotten them, we're going to be there supporting them. But there is nothing constitutionally. There is nothing more significant that I would do than to send our young men and women in uniform into harm's way. And I wasn't around here in Washington for the beginnings of these two. These two conflicts. I've been very reticent about us using our military in just sort of a helter-skelter fashion. And I was very, very reticent about what the Obama administration was doing in Libya, for example, and the discussions of Iran and some of those things. We have to be very careful how we are using our military, because I'm telling you, they're tired. I mean, they're stretched. They've been very busy and in a lot of different places for a long time. And you've got people with multiple tours under their belt who we just can't be sending them around the world after every bad guy. And we've got to be very selective about how we do this.
Well, the personal
I hope we have learned some lessons from this.
The personal sacrifice they're making is something I think many people just can't really believe. It is just incredible. U.S. Congressman Bill Huizinga just returned from a trip to Afghanistan. Thank you very much for joining me, Bill.
Hey, my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.
And send me some feedback. Let me know what you think. Our email address here is capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. I'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.